I'm going to actually finish the sermon I started this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. He is our hope and salvation, our Savior. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And Lord, one day we will bow before the feet of your blessed Son and worship him in a way that we've never been able to before. And so, Father, we thank you. We look forward to that time. And Lord, knowing that you love the church, knowing that you're here with us in that special way that you promised when two or three are gathered together in your name, dear God, I pray that your Spirit would move in our midst and that you'd do the work in every heart that needs to be done. Fill me with your Spirit and help me to teach and preach that which you have laid on my heart from your word for the church tonight. Bless my dear wife in the nursery watching the children. Fill her with your Spirit. I thank you for the word that's gone forth here already in this place and this morning and the adult Sunday school hour, the children's Sunday school hour, the morning worship service, Father. And it's been good to be in your house. And we thank you that we could be here tonight gathered together with your people. And Father, once again, edify your church, we pray. Glorify your name. Help us to walk close with you. And Lord, should you give us the days ahead, Father, help us to be lights for you in this world. And thank you for a good missions conference. I thank you for the increase in the faith promise offering and giving. And we look forward to being able to do even more for our missionaries because you have worked on our hearts and provided. And we trust you for that. And so, Father, we commit these things unto you and look for you to just work in our hearts. I pray we would not leave the same way that we came. In some way you'd speak to our hearts and draw us closer to you. Father, we do pray, we do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we started the message this morning. We saw the message titled Awake, and we looked at the goodness of sleep, how it certainly is good that physical sleep is good for your body and such. But then we saw that how spiritual sleep, on the other hand, is never good for us. God doesn't want us ever to be spiritually drowsy, spiritually slumbering. And we saw some negatives of that. And we were commanded to wake up. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. And we liken that to your alarm clock or goes off for the first time. Maybe you hit the snooze, and so you're turning a bit in the bed, but you might go back to sleep a little bit. You might wake up. The Holy Spirit's being and convict you and showing you that you're asleep spiritually in some way, but no decisions made. That conviction's coming. We kind of compared it to that. Wake up. And then we saw some things about that where sleep is not good spiritually. And then we saw point number two this morning, rise up. He says, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. But rise up. Now this is the point where you realize the alarm's gone off and it's time to get up. You make that decision. I've got to get up now. I've got to go forward. That's the confession and repentance in your life. The Lord has shown you that you are sleeping. You have been sleeping. Now you have been stirred to being awake, and now you've decided you've got to move. You've got to go forward. Now you don't hit the snooze button again. You turn the alarm off, and you seal the deal. Now you realize if you don't get up, guess what? There's going to be problems because you'll fall back to sleep. And so the idea of the songs that we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. I don't want to be a spiritual sleeper. I want to go forward in my Christian life. And we liken that to rising up and to deciding to go forward and to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And then also we see that the Apostle Paul in this passage exhorts us to wise up. He says, that we are to be not as fools, but as wise, redeem the time. He says in verse 14 here, he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Christ shall give thee light. I'll give you the rest of the verses there. And Christ shall give thee light as we go forward. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so we are to be wise. He also says that we are to be, down there in verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so he calls for this wisdom. So we think about, we liken this to our getting out of bed, or our being awakened from sleep. We have stirred. We have stirred again. We've turned the alarm off. That's the repentance. We're going to get up. We have to go forward. Now, as you're going forward to get up, what's the next thing you do? You need to turn on a light somewhere. That's going to be the next thing that happens. I know that when I get up, you know, I many times don't hit the snooze button. Sometimes I'll hit it once. After it goes off, definitely not again. Then the off button comes on, the decision is made, I'm going to get up. And now the first thing I do is I have a little watch, I actually sleep with it on, and I hit a little light button. And I see a few things around the room that I need to grab and take out with me. I don't turn the light on the room because my wife is still sleeping there. So, but first thing, what do we need? We need a light, quickly. And that's what we're seeing next here. He says, arise from the dead, and what? Christ shall give thee light. If we're going to go forward, then we need our path lightened, amen, to go forward. We need to know where it is God wants us to go, what he wants us to do. And so we need that light. No sooner than we decide to seek God, we decide to be a disciple of God, no sooner we do that, than he shines upon our path the light of the Word of God. You see, because if we have decided to follow Jesus, if we have decided to do that, then it's going to involve, obviously, prayer, reading your Bible, attending a Bible-believing church faithfully. And if your heart is in that, you want to be a follower, God is going to shed his light on you. He's going to open up the Word of God to you. He's not trying to hide the path. Well, I want them to follow me, but I'll see if they can find the way. He's not doing that. He doesn't do that. When your heart is set, I want to be a follower of Jesus, then God's going to open those floodlights of the Word of God. He's going to show you his will for his life, or for your life. And so he turns that light on. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul writes here. He says in verse 14, he says, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now he says, wherefore he saith. Now, what's he talking about there? Well, he's actually referring to possibly to a passage, and there are a couple others, back in Isaiah chapter 60 in verse 1. And there we read what God is talking about in the context of Isaiah 60. He is talking about the future exaltation of the city of Jerusalem. That, by the way, that's yet to come, you know. Christ is going to reign from Jerusalem upon the earth, we believe, in a literal millennium. And Christ is going to come and reign. Well, he's talking about the exaltation of Jerusalem. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. One of the curses in the tribulation that God sends is a darkness upon those who have received the mark. And a darkness which can be felt, the darkness in the kingdom of the beast. Now, the Jerusalem is exalted during the millennium. So you have the cities in the tribulation period, you have this darkness. But when the Lord comes, his second coming, the rapture, the tribulation, the Lord comes, his second coming, destroys the armies of the world, starts the millennium, Jerusalem is exalted. And it becomes the capital of the world for that 1,000 years. So the Apostle Paul likens the Christian life to that God's exaltation of the city. Just as one day Jerusalem will be exalted again, it will be the focal point of the world. You, Christian, are the light of the world. Right now, you live in a dark world. You are to be the light. I am to be the light of the world. And that he uses that as a comparison for that. In John 8:12, the scripture says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me," remember that decision, I have decided to follow Jesus, "he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness," what to say, "but shall have the light of life." You see, you no sooner decide, I'm going to follow Jesus, than you will have the light of life. And he will lead you and guide you. And we see this truth taught throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul, of course, inspired by the Spirit, saying all the scripture. But he says in 1 Corinthians 3:4, "Awake." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's what he said here. He says, "Awake to righteousness." There's the light. "And sin not." So the light comes on. God shows us right from wrong. And we are to be the light of the world. Jesus said in the Gospels, he says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But then he tells us what in Ephesians 1:4. I'm getting ahead of myself here. John 9:5, Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." But in Matthew 5:14, he says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Now think about that. We live in a dark world, don't we? A world that has, for the most part, turned from God. Do you realize that it is the lower lights that give? We sing the song, "Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the waves. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save." What are the lower lights? That's not the sun. That's the moon and the stars reflecting the light of the sun. You see, the sailors travel what? By the North Star. The North Star always points what? North. And other stars. They find their direction from the lower lights. Well, guess what? We're living in a dark place. And Jesus Christ himself in the flesh here, what? Is no longer walking upon the earth. But where is he? He's inside you and me. And you and I are the lower lights. You see, we need to be reflecting the image of God, the grace of God, and the glory of God, because that is the glory this world must see in this dark night. They don't have the sun walking here as he did 2,000 years ago. We don't have that. People need to see the lower lights be burning. Amen. They need to see Jesus shine through us. They need to see people who want to be disciples of Christ, people that he is shedding his light upon them, and just as the moon and the stars, they are the moon reflects the light of the sun. And we see that the lower lights, the stars, the guys created sending this light out. So we have this light, and we are to be burning for the Lord, living not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Psalm 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And because you have believed in God, you've trusted this Jesus Christ as your Savior, folks, you're not a fool. And so we are not to be living as the world who doesn't know God. They don't know any better. We are to be witnesses unto him. And for that, and God will pour his light upon us. Just as the sun pours light upon men who are arousing from sleep, so Christ will pour the light of his word upon all who will come out from the world and be separate. Those who will deny the world, the flesh, and the devil, and want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he will pour his light upon them, and they will become witnesses for him. So walking as wise, learning the word of God, redeeming the time, means buying up the time, using it wisely. We ought to have schedule with priorities. Do you realize you don't have enough time to do all the good things there are to do in the world? You can't do them all. There are so many good ministries that can be done, you can't do them all, neither can I. Neither can any one church. You have to have priorities in your life. When do you read the Word of God? When do you pray? When do you read your Bible? And by the way, do things come... In what order do those things in your schedule come?
if time runs short, what gets left out? What is prioritized? That's living life wisely, putting spiritual things first and walking in that. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And what's he talking about there? There are days of a time full of peril, peril to the Christian faith and steadfastness, causing pain and trouble. Now remember, Paul is writing during the first century. He himself was spearheading the movement to kill Christians. He was doing that. And so for them, in their days, to live as a Christian was a risky thing. The days are evil. By the way, the world is not your friend today, nor is it my friend either. Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God, we sing? Absolutely not. It's against the things of God, and we have to go against the grain to live as Christians. Be not conformed, go with, but be ye transformed, go against or across, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God has to transform us against that. But living wise and in that way. So wising up. And then fifthly, and before I go on, I mentioned this morning, we might take some testimonies. Is anybody ready to give a testimony this morning or tonight? If you thought about it and said, yeah, I could give one. I never said 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Anybody? We might get out early. If not, Sister Lynn. Okay. If I didn't see any hands, I wouldn't worry about going a bit longer. But okay. Okay. Got it. All right. Okay. All right. Because that's giving testimony is something we haven't done very often around here. So I don't want you to miss the chance. We rarely do that. Maybe we'll do it more. But we'll see. All right. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then finally, and the next, fill up. Be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. You get up, the Spirit's stirring you. Roll around. The snooze button goes off again. This time you hit the off button. Now you've determined to follow Jesus. You get up because you determine to follow Jesus. You turn a light on. That we're illustrating what you do from getting up from sleep. Now God turns a light on for you on the spiritual side. You go forward in wisdom. You see what's around you with the light on and all that. But you need power for the day. You need power for the day to walk. You decided to follow Jesus, but guess what you can do about that in your own power? Nothing. And you know, sometimes it takes us a while to realize that. This is something that I really want to do. I have such a desire to do it. Praise God, that's good. But how long does it take us to realize that we have no power to do it? We have no power to do it unless we trust in the Holy Spirit. He is our power. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen. It is just as wrong for a Christian to be drunk, to not be filled with the Spirit, as it is for a Christian to be drunk with wine. Let me repeat that. It is just as wrong for a Christian to not be filled with the Spirit as it is for a Christian to be drunk with wine. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? What's being filled with the Spirit? You're yielding to the Spirit. As far as you know, you don't have any unconfessed sins. You don't have a favorite sin you're hanging on to. You're serving God. You're yielding to God. You're doing His will as far as you know. Paul said in one place, I know nothing by myself, yet not am I hereby justified. But what he was saying was, as far as I know right now, I don't know anything in my life that is out of God's will. That's what he was saying. And by the way, you can be there, and I can be there too. And we should be as we confess our sins. And keep a short list before God, amen. Keeping right with God. Fill up. Be not drunk with wine. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah said at the end of verse 6 in chapter 4, not by might nor by power, God says through him, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. God says, I get things done by my Spirit. By my Spirit. Thank God he puts his Spirit in us. Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what? Nothing. Zip. A zilch. Nada. Nothing. We can't do anything without Jesus. And you know, when you think about that, being filled with the Spirit, you have this desire to follow the Lord. We can do nothing without Jesus. But Dennis was talking about this morning about in the lesson about Christians ministering in the spirit of meekness. Meekness is power under control. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit. But we talked for a little bit in the lesson about Christians trying to minister in the flesh. And what happens when you try to minister in the flesh? You end up having a what? A superficial ministry. It may look good on the outside, but there's no real roots to it. There's no real spirituality to it. And you know, it's that way in our following, our own personal following of the Lord is too, isn't it, as well? We may decide to follow Jesus, folks, but if we do it in the flesh, all we're going to have is a superficial Christianity. Oh, you see me going to church every day, don't you? And I'm even carrying my Bible tucked under my arm. And if you look close, it says KJV right there, right there on it, you know. And we have a superficial spirituality if we're not doing it in the Spirit, you say. And sooner or later, fooling everybody isn't satisfying enough. Sooner or later, the mouth gets dry. Speaking of which, somebody give me a glass of water. Thank you, Brother Brian. Sooner or later, just because everybody thinks I'm right with God isn't enough. You know what I'm saying? Sooner or later, that's just not enough. It's got to be real. I got to have a change inside me. And you know, that's when we're getting ready to get filled with the Spirit. Jesus said this in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which what? Do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I got to have it, God. I got to have my inside changed, and my outside will be what you want it to be. My outside looks fine to everybody else, God, but it's not changed enough. It needs to be changed more on the inside. You see? And you get that hunger. You get that thirst. Now we're getting ready. Because we realize a thing that we desperately want, we have no power of attaining apart from what? His Spirit. And we start crying out for that in prayer, that filling. God, fill me. God, use me. God, I want that. It's so good to be transparent with God. You might as well be. He sees it all anyway, right? We might as well let him know how we really are inside in prayer and confess our sins and faults unto him and our hypocrisies at times. And so we might as well confess it unto him because he sees it all and knows it all. And he wants us to be real. He wants us to be real. And as we yield to him, he fills us with that blessed Holy Spirit. And then we're able to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, all those fruits of the Spirit. Which brings me to the final thought here. He says, fill up with the Spirit. And then he says, offer up. And so we get filled with the Spirit. We're now not slumbering. We're not sleeping anymore. We're busy. Part of sleep is being inactive. We're not sleeping spiritually. Now we're busy in the Lord. Part of sleep is your body temperature goes down. But we're not sleeping anymore. Now our passion for the Lord is renewed. We have a fire. We have a love for the Lord. We want to serve Him. We want to follow Him. All these things have been rekindled by the Holy Spirit. We're yielding to the Holy Spirit. And so we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the things that follow in chapter 5 here, the things that follow in verses 8, actually verse 19 through 21, are indications of the filling of the Holy Spirit. What's he say? He says, but be filled with the Spirit. And when you are, here's what happens. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Did you notice it didn't say in verse 19, Be not drunk with wine, 18, we're in Zechariah, but be filled with the Spirit, and thousands will come to Christ, verse 19. You notice he didn't say that? You know, you may be filled with the Spirit, and nobody may believe you. Is that the truth, or is it not? Absolutely, that's the truth. Jesus never promised that you'd have one soul saved. But you ought to live your life to reach people and try to see souls saved, even if all you ever had your whole life was one. You see, God didn't promise numbers. He promised the filling of the Spirit within, and you to be, and I to be a witness, whether the world will believe us or not. Hopefully they will. And they have, and we need to be filled with the Spirit giving that message. But here, look at the indications. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody your heart to the Lord. What is that? That's joy. Who doesn't want a joyous life? God says, you get filled with the Spirit, you stop slumbering, you get your spiritual temperature back up, you be active like you're not when you're sleeping. All these things that are operative of sleep, you do these things, yield to my Spirit, you're going to have what? Joy. For the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. Joy. See, first that love has to be rekindled. I want to be a disciple. I want to follow. And then what comes to me, that light, that joy comes. I think of joy. Jesus said in John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord cares about that. He wants, by the way, when a person in the world, in this dark world, sees you, and you are filled with joy, you are an odd duck, my friend. That's probably going to arouse some questions. What do you know that I don't? What do you got that I don't have? You see, joy, that fruit of the Spirit. Look what he says. Consider Colossians 1:11. We are to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. This is God's end goal for us, unto all pleasing and long suffering. With joyfulness. When you're filled with the Spirit, whatever comes your way, God says, when you're filled with the Spirit, you can go through it with joyfulness. That's when the world looks on and goes, I can't figure that out. You lose a child, you lose a job, you lose your health, whatever trial it might be. Joy is not some fickle laughter. It's a deep assurance that all will be well, and there's a loving God in control. Joy. And look what he says finally. verse 20, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. So what, joyous life, and by the way, a life that gives glory to God. Why are you so joyful? I have a God to thank. I have his Spirit in my heart. I have him answering my prayers. I have a God to follow. It points to God. It's because of him. Giving thanks. A thankful heart which gives glory to God. And then the last one, finally, 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You see, God designed Christians to grow through the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and of course, the people of God. That's what the church is. He gave, you know, some pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and such for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Man iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. God gave us his people, his church, to sharpen one another, to help one another grow. So we see all those things that come. So what is God showing us at the end of these few verses up to Ephesians 5, 21? He's showing us what being filled with the Spirit does. It brings those things. And if we'll awake out of sleep, by the way, we all fall into sleep sometime. We get a little less zealous about things of God. We get a little less zealous about whatever service that we have. You know, a little cold here. We all get there sometimes. But when we repent of that and get back on track, what happens? David prayed what? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And God will do it in a heartbeat. The other thing about sleep is this. It's easy to wake up. All you got to do is, you know, shake somebody. And you know what? For the Christian to walk, come out of sleep, it's easy to wake. When the Spirit convicts you, repent. When the Spirit convicts you, repent. Just confess. You're right, God. You're right. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me. Help me to go forward. Guess what? Done. You're on your way. You're on your way. It's so easy. It's so easy. All we got to do is turn to the one who loves us. All right. I mentioned about testimonies, so we can take a couple. Well, Sister Lynn has a testimony, and we'll let her come up and share. I do want you to come to the mic because we're taping it, so we'll let you share the testimony that you have, and let you do that. All right. 5 to 7.
I want to probably be one or two. I have never given my salvation testimony in this church, and the God's Spirit is prompting me to do that, even though I'm up here shaking and nervous because I don't like this. But my salvation came at a great personal cost. It was because of the, I'll try and get through this, it was because of the death of my baby brother. Years earlier, Ron had found the Lord, and he tried to share that with his family. But we shunned him and didn't really listen to him. You know, that's okay for you, but, you know, we got our life to live. So a few months after I'd had another conversation with my brother, he had to go in for his third open heart surgery, in which they put an artificial valve in, and he never left the hospital. He was there for about 30 days before the Lord took him home. But the last time I went to visit him, I saw something in him that just really caught my attention. He had this total calm and peace over him that just caught my attention. And now, of course, I know that was of the Lord. But after Ron died, I knew that he had something that I needed. I didn't really know what that was, but I knew that God had it, and I needed God. And I set out to look for God. I really didn't know how. I just started visiting little churches around and was getting kind of confused. I didn't have the smarts to go to the Word of God. And then a friend invited me to Harvest Baptist Church. And after I was there listening to the preaching for a couple months, I really enjoyed it. I was really learning, and I really was intrigued by it all. It finally, one evening service, it dawned on me that God loved me. He died for me. It was just like a light came on. And I was so thankful. I went home that night, got down on my knees, and just poured it all out to the Lord and prayed, and I was saved. And I'm so thankful for that. And I know that my little brother desperately wanted his family to be saved. And I believe his prayer was, Lord, whatever it takes. And that's what it took. It took his life, and I'm very thankful for that. Good things do come to those. And God's word promises that if we seek him with all our heart, we'll find him, and that's true. Because I found him. That's a miracle at my age. I was 33 years old.
Amen. That's a good testimony. I'd never heard your salvation testimony in that detail. Yeah. Amen. So once in a while, we'll do that, give you a chance to share. We still got 5 minutes. Anybody else have a testimony you'd like to share, a prayer that God answered, your salvation testimony? All right. Well, we'll ponder having a few more chances to do that. And the Bible says, let all the people of the Lord say so. Yeah. And so it's good for us to do that under the limitations that the Spirit allows in the church. We know that we know what those are. And so I'm thankful that we can keep it in that realm. All righty. Well, let's pray, and we'll have Brother Charles come up and close us. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your great love for us. God, that you would send your Son to die for us and rise again. That once we trust you, you'd send your Holy Spirit down from heaven to live in our hearts and to never leave us nor forsake us, the Spirit, very Spirit of your Son. Oh, Father, thank you for for salvation in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the promises that are yet to come, your return, and our being caught up to you. Lord, if we die, that won't stop it. We'd be the first to go up when you come. We thank you for that promise. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to teach our hearts the value of eternal things. Continue to teach us and show us how to lay hold on eternal life. And Father, it is then that we will know how to live this life the best, when we're living it for eternity. And so, Father, work that in the hearts of your people for our good and for your glory. And help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.